Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this night. I thank you for each couple that's here. And Lord, for those who couldn't make it, I ask that you touch them. I ask that you fill this place with your word, with your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, you know, we're talking about, like I stated, a very boring subject, romance and sex. I want you guys to understand, I want to go far enough for you to understand things, but not cross that line, if that makes sense to you. As you know, a lot of times we have questions and answers afterwards in the teaching the last 15 minutes. My wife doesn't want to come up for that this much. I'm teasing. We're going to have questions and answers, but after we dismiss you guys this time, Dell and I will be up here because we just want to protect you guys, okay? So we're going to do that. If we had time to write them down and bring them up and we could share them, we might do that, but that's how we're going to handle it. Okay, I want to start off with just a couple of quotes I've read recently. And this is just such a truism. Satan does everything he can to make you have sex before you get married, and everything he can to make you not have sex or want to have sex after you get married. It's just the truth, because the enemy knows that it's such a bonding factor when you're married, and when you're not married, it's something you're not supposed to do. Sometimes it's hard, too, for us to go from no to go, if that makes sense. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but for those of us who were Christians ahead of time, we wanted to be pure until the day we got married. So you're holding back and it's not right and it's not right. And now you're married and it's okay. And sometimes it's hard to flick that switch. So we have to understand the biblical principles in that. And that's what I'm hoping to lay out tonight a little bit of. Again, what God has made to be great and wonderful in the context of marriage, the world is just totally ruined and taken out of context. And that's why so many Christian couples are having problems in their sexual relationships, because they bought the lie of the world, that it's just the lie of the world. And we're going to deal with that a little bit. Sex has become one of the most discussed subjects of the modern times. The Victorians pretended it did not exist. The moderns pretended nothing else exists. The first sexual thought, though, whose thought was the first sexual thought? Do you know? Whose was it? It was God's, right? God created man and woman. He created in the proper context for it to be wonderful. I want you to know something, too, for those of you who are dating and engaged. Nobody ever died from not having sex. Okay, I want you to remember that. Nobody ever died from not having sex. So in God's timing, it'll be wonderful. But many have died from the results of having sex outside of marriage. STDs, there's a lot of that happens. Sex is really the primary reason, or the lack of, that dating couples break up. Did you know that? Why? You've got the guy, I just can't wait, I'm burning, I'm going to die. And so the girl wants to stay pure with God, and she says, no, or vice versa, it can happen either way. But there's that struggle, because it's a natural progression to desire one another as you start dating each other, and you need to make sure that that's in the proper stance of how God wants you to be. Sometimes that person, once they have sex, they just dump the person. It's like they got what they wanted. I know you guys know people like that it's happened. So we want to make sure for those who are dating and engaged that you protect yourself from that. We're going to talk just a little bit about porn. Porn is something that's just a mess out there right now for the world. Do you know it's just the same mess for those who are dating and engaged and or Christians and married? It really is. It's ruining marriages, it's ruining lives, it's ruining and destroying the Christian community. It's stated, I think the stats Bob was telling me earlier, were like 64% of men have been involved in porn recently that are not Christians, and 65 I think it was, and 64% of Christians had been. It's an epidemic, and it'll ruin you. It will destroy you. It will destroy you before you're married. It'll destroy you when you're married. It's something you need to get a hold of. Don't think, oh, once I get married, I'm going to get control of this. No, you won't. It's addicting and it'll kill you. I'm telling you, husband or dating couples, if you're dating right now and your future spouse is addicted to porn or involved in porn, get help. Don't marry them until they get it under control. I'm telling you right, don't. You're going to be in our office and we're going to be talking to you. Does that make sense? Don't do it, guys and gals. Don't do it. Don't allow that to ruin your relationship and the rest of your life most of the time. Hollywood does a great job of making sex and porn like it's always great, don't they? It's like it's wonderful. But the truth is, there's so much. There's things that happen through sex before marriage and sex outside of marriage and sex not God ways, like abortion, disease, broken families, depression, sex crimes, prostitution. That's just to name a few of them. There is a spiritual and emotional and mental relationship of consequences to sex outside of marriage. You have broken fellowship with God, guilt and a bad self-esteem, broken relationships. It destroys what God has made to be holy and pure, takes the truth and turns it into a lie. So wait, please wait if you are not married. In Genesis 2, 21 through 24, the word says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which he took, the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.'" Now, I have written in my, she's getting embarrassed already, in my Bible, in one of the verses where it says, "She is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," I have, "Wow, Della, sexy." That's my wife's name. Because, okay, I'm sure he said, "She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." But come on, guys, don't you think he went, "Wow, look what you've given me, God. This is awesome." Don't you? You don't? Yeah. I do. God wants you to be blessed and protected and save sex until you're married. After marriage, it's blessed by God. The Song of Solomon 2:7 says, "Not to awake love until it's time." You know what that means? It means wait until you're married to have sex. The further you go, the further you want to go. Once you compromise, it's harder to care and to stop. The enemy's a dirtbag, and we all know that. So once you compromise in one little area, you say, "Oh, you went that far, you might as well go farther. Oh, you went that far, you might as well go further." No, stop. If you're involved in an improper relationship right now, just stop. Ask God for forgiveness and move forward. He will forgive you. And you could move forward totally clean in Him. A lot of people ask me, okay, how far can I go? I'll just say, my daughter, okay? I'll just make it real practical. My daughter was engaged, Christian, to a Christian man, and she came up and said, "Okay, Dad, we need to ask you a question." I go, "Okay, what's that?" "How far can we go before we get married?" I go, "Oh, you're asking your dad, who's also a pastor." I said, "Listen," I said, "here's the thing, Donna. You can go as far as you want and as far as you feel comfortable, and anything you feel comfortable doing in front of me." Am I right? Now, that's the truth, you guys. If you're going further, I'm going to use a couple words that maybe you haven't heard before, but the word foreplay. All the rest is foreplay. And foreplay is getting you prepared for having sex, right? So if you're doing anything in a context that you can't do in front of other people, you're doing something that's for the marriage context. It's preparing you for the marriage bed. Does that make sense? Yes. Do I hear amen? Amen? Amen. So after you're married, great. But before then, protect yourself. Keep the walls up. Keep those guards up so you won't do the wrong things. So So before marriage, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, it says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, sex before marriage, in other words, in porn, nor adultery, nor adulterers having sex with a married person, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, male prostitutes, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Now, and some of you could say, and such were some of I. And then it says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So if you had been one of those, confess to God. He'll cleanse you. He'll purify you. He'll make you holy and pure again before him. Don't get discouraged. Get encouraged and obey God. After marriage, Hebrews 13:4 says, the marriage bed is honorable among all and undefiled. And we'll talk a little more about that after I get rid of you dating engaged people. In Genesis 1:27 and 28, the word says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Again, once you're married, you want to enjoy it. It's a great and beautiful thing. The reason that sex is so satisfying after marriage is because it draws the couple together in two planes, physically and spiritually. When you're not married, it draws you together physically but not spiritually, and because it's sin, and so it'll mess you up. Okay, with that being said, we're going to make this room a little bit thinner. Now, those of you who raise your hand again if you're dating and engaged, don't lie. You're going to go to the next room, and this couple over here is going to talk to you guys about how to stay pure, and you're going to be able to communicate. So if you could stand up, dating and engaged, go out, and then the married couples, we're going to... So God bless you guys. Tell us what you learned. We won't tell you what we learned. Don't sneak out either. Go to the next room. Come on now. I know you're going to go home now. Oh, man, he didn't say anything I wanted to hear. That's for them. Amen. Amen. That took a good if you guys want to move forward, you can. The rest of you guys, if you're comfortable where you're at, that's fine also. So, now it's going to be... Well, I'll wait till the rest of them get out. This will probably be up online also, depending on if I feel like it. All the teachings we do are online at the at-home website. You can listen to all the ones from last year and stuff too. So anybody that wants to come forward, please come on and come forward. Okay, now, who's married in this room? Okay, because we're going to talk. Okay, this is church, but we're going to talk and we're going to be real with each other. Let's pretend we're having coffee and talking about real stuff, because the church, to me, does such a big disservice in neglecting talking about sex, which is a big part of a marriage, isn't it? Yes. Do you know that God so cares for the success and quality of your sex life? Did you know that? He cares about it. He wants it to be wonderful. He doesn't want it to be mediocre. He wants it to be wonderful. Marriage is the enemy's hunting ground, you guys. And with everything going on in this world, he's going to do everything he can to take your eyes off of your spouse and put your eyes on somebody else. Put your walls and put your guards up. In Matthew 19, 4 through 6, the word says, have you not read, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. The purpose of the gift of sex, and it's a gift, it talks about it being a gift, right? We want it to be a good gift, not a bad gift. is reproduction. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 1:28. Children are a gift from the Lord and a reward. Psalm 127:3. And for pleasure, through intimacy and companionship, through physical enjoyment. Now, there are a lot of things in this world and in this life that we could do with a lot of people and a lot of the opposite sex, correct? The one thing we cannot do with anyone else but our spouse is a sexual relationship and romance. Does that make sense? So we need to make sure that we understand that. 1 Corinthians 7:3 through 5 said, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and then come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Amen? Do we need a commentary on that? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Withholding sex, except with an agreement from your partner, is sin. Do we get that? I mean, it's really clear there. Withholding sex is not a way to retaliate for a wrong. You know, I'm mad at you, so you aren't getting to me tonight. What? Excuse me? That's not what God says to do. Your body is for the pleasure of your spouse and not yourself. Does that make sense? I know, okay. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I have total pleasure making love with my wife, okay? But it's also for her pleasure. My goal should be, anytime my wife wants pleasure, that I'm able to give her pleasure. Does that make sense to you guys and gals? Our goal is to please the other person, and in that, God will allow us to please, be pleased also. And God is capable of making you to be able to meet your partner's need. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You might say, God can do that, but our mindset. How many of you know that sex is like 90-whatever% you're in your mind, right? It's what you're thinking, what you're feeling. If I'm mad, if I'm upset, then maybe things aren't working as well, whether I'm a man or a woman. Does that make sense? You guys have all been there? Be married 43 years, you will be there. You're going to have times like that. It's just the way it is. Good sex is built on fidelity and commitment. Knowing you're committed to one another. I'm not committed to someone else, I'm committed to you. It's you I want, it's you I desire, no one else. We need to recognize the sexual needs of our partner and make it a high priority. I mean, it has to be a high priority. It's totally a part of what God has. Now let's talk a little bit about headaches. You know, not tonight, I have a headache. It's not your body, it's hers. It's not his body, it's hers. His? Okay. If you really have a headache, if my wife says, "George, I really, really have a headache tonight. I'm not feeling good." Then I need to be nice to my body and leave her alone. If I need to, I need to chew the head post so that I could leave her alone. Okay? You need to make sure. Now, if she's going, "I just have a headache," and she doesn't really have a headache, that's her problem. She needs to deal with that. But husbands and wives, you need to be able to meet each other's needs and realize that if somebody's hurting, you don't force yourself upon them. That's not thinking of them first. That's thinking of yourself. We need to continually die to ourselves in our marriages. Does that make sense, you guys? I'm not talking about just a headache. Whatever it is, you know, I'm not feeling good. I had a terrible day. Her mom died. And, you know, am I going to go, "Oh, let's jump in the sack"? No, she's hurting. She's emotionally hurting. I need to be sensitive to that. We need to be sensitive to one another and die to ourselves, die to our flesh. And then sex will be even way better in the future too for you. Also, sex should be regular, as it talked about there. And the question is, if it's not regular, as the word said there, are you fasting and praying? That's what the word said. Yeah. Are you fasting and praying? In other words, there has to be a good reason, not just, I don't feel like it. Well, you know, it says, let then come together so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do we want our spouses to look at just us? Then we need to meet this need in their life too. Hey, I'm not saying, well, if she or he's not meeting my need like I want it, then I have a right to go out and sin. No, you don't. But the other person has a right to make sure that they're meeting that person's need on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question and blurt it out. No, don't you dare blurt it out. What does on a regular basis mean? Okay, I'm going to tell you what on a regular basis is for Della and me. None your business. Okay? So the bottom line is for each one of you, what is regular is what's regular for you two. Not what Joe says he's doing, my buddy Joe says regular is. Shut up. You and your wife talk and communicate and talk about what's regular to you. Because I can almost guarantee you that each husband and wife, each of you have a little bit different desire for how often you should have sex. We're all giggling because it's true. Let's just say I'm Italian. No one needs to say. My wife's not. Now, if you're having a physical problem, see a doctor, okay? I mean that. There could be physical reasons why sex is a problem or you're having pain or whatever, and you need to see a doctor and see if there's a problem and what you need to do with that. And at different times, things could emotionally mess you up because, again, like I stated, when my wife's mom died, when my dad died, and I was dealing with things just aren't working the same. Your mind's all over the place and things aren't working. So, okay, I'm going to share something really personal with you guys. I had a heart attack 4.5 years ago. After my heart attack, a lot of physical things weren't working right for a while, okay? And we had to work through some things. And I have a wonderful, awesome wife, and we worked through some things, but I had a physical problem that was compounded then by your emotions going wacky that we had to work through. No matter what it is, you work through it together because you love the Lord and you love each other and you want it to be beautiful in God's sight and in God's timing. Does that make sense? Okay, really important. Here are a few areas that inhibit good sexual relationships. Working excessively. Workaholic. You're just working. Of course you don't have energy for your partner. Lack of sleep. You know, I mean, any of you that have kids are fighting with a lack of sleep, right? It's just the truth. And so sometimes you have to schedule it. Do you know it's not sin to schedule sex? It really isn't. Hey, it's crazy, but Saturday, the kids are going to be at the high school retreat this weekend, right? They're going up to the junior high and high schoolers. Hey, we can make love that night. And plan it and make it a wonderful thing. When you have kids, it's harder. You can't be as spontaneous. You know, it's just not going to happen. There's those seasons of life. We've been married now, it'll be 43 years this June. And we've gone through seasons of life. Be sensitive to one another and meeting that need and prioritizing it, but lack of sleep is a real important thing. You need to get sleep. How? I don't know. We said, well, once we get married, we're going to get more sleep. Well, it's been 43 years, and I don't know if we're getting any more sleep. And she's saying, no, we're not getting any more sleep than we were before. That's just life, man. But you have to try to get sleep. Again, emotional burdens. making sure that we deal with those emotional burdens and are sensitive to one another with those emotional burdens. But at the same time, I can't have that emotional burden for 3 years. We need to be able to meet that other person's needs. My wife could say, honey, you know, I'm really not into it tonight, but I want to please you. That's not sin on either of our parts, right? Right? You're getting real quiet now on me. How about laziness? You're lazy with it. It's just too much work. It's going to take. You realize how long that's going to take? You got to prioritize it, you guys. Prioritize it, you know. By the time we blah, 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 and then we go to sleep, and anyway, prioritize it. Don't be lazy. It's something that's very important, and it's in God's word that we do. Taking each other for granted. Oh, she'll understand. Oh, she'll understand. Or he'll understand. He'll understand. 2 weeks later, he'll understand. He'll understand. Start being sensitive to one another in that area. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's real important that we're constantly submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1-4 says, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, that they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely of outward arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. If he's not walking right with Christ, win him over to Christ by having a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, this isn't saying, but by the outward appearance, it's not saying don't comb your hair, don't put on makeup. Yeah, still do that, but it's your heart. It's your sacrificial heart and love of a wife that draws that man not only closer to you, but closer to God. As he sees your spirit of God, your spirit for God, your submission to God, he's going to want to be more like you and want to be closer to God. That's how you do that. In Love and Respect, how many of you have ever gone through the Love and Respect series? Do you remember one of the things that was stated by the wife? She said, one time somebody was saying something about, well, I just really don't want to make love that often, and blah, 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 blah. And her comment was, why hold back something that gives him so much pleasure and takes so little time? There you have it. No, but seriously, when you look at it in the scope of things, you need to just make sure you're balancing out pleasing one another. Again, the man or the woman, you need to die to yourself if the other one's hurting and they're emotionally going through something or physically. But we need to make sure that we are also pleasing each other in that area. We don't want them looking elsewhere, and we want them looking at us. In 1 Peter 3:7, it goes on, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings. Knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. Okay, guys. It's your turn. Are you dwelling with your wife with understanding? How many of you are going to this Sunday watch the game, the football game? How many of you guys like some kind of sport? You guys, I'm just talking to you guys. Women, plug your ears. Do you know who the quarterback is? Do you know how many touchdowns they made? Do you know this? Do you know that? How much do you know about your wife? Do you know her favorite color? Do you know her favorite food? Her favorite restaurant? Some of you do. I hear you shouting it out. Do you know where she likes to go? What's fun for her? Do you know that stuff? That's dwelling with them with understanding. Sexually, do you know what she likes? Seriously. a woman should be able to enjoy sex, okay? I'll say it that way. And it's our responsibility to help them enjoy sex. They should be able to enjoy it to the fullest, okay? So we need to figure out how to help them enjoy it to the fullest. Now, most women don't have the same appetite we men do, but still, when the woman wants to enjoy it to the fullest, we need to be able to figure out how to help our wife enjoy it to the fullest. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, so indwelling with them with understanding and all the other things, we need to dwell with them with understanding in that. Ask. You might be rubbing her face like this. And here's her face, and you're going. And you're going, man, she's digging this. And she's going, man, that feels like sandpaper. Stop it. Ask her. And woman, tell him. You're caressing your tush. She hates you to do that. Tell him. And you ask, honey, what do you like that I do? What do you not like? Tell me. Communicate with each other. We take this area because the enemy has messed us up in it, and we don't want to communicate about it so it doesn't get better. Your sex life should be getting better and better and better and better and better and better. And I say, amen, it has, after 43 years. Why? Because I know her better, and she knows me better. And we ask each other, what do you like? What don't you like? We communicate. We'll communicate about what you want for dinner, but we won't communicate about what you like or don't like in bed. We need to communicate about that also. Communicate with each other. Okay, do you say thank you? I do. After we make love, especially when I know it was a tough night for her or whatever, I'll say, thank you, Della. I really appreciate that. You could say thank you for that. It'd be a wonderful thing to say thank you. And she'd go, wow, he thanked me. Oh, I'm going to do it again. Well, you hope she says that anyway. But thank each other. Please each other. Communicate with each other. Tell each other that you're thankful for what they're doing. Study her. I mean, really, study your wife. I love looking at my wife. There are times when she goes, you know, did you want something? No, I'm just looking at you. And I am. I'm just looking at her. I'm enjoying her because she is who God has given me to look at and enjoy. Not your wife. Not somebody on TV or some other fake weird stuff. You have your wife that you're supposed to enjoy and look at. And your wives have your husbands that you're supposed to do with that. Let me share something with you too. And this is the truth. This is hard work, especially for us knucklehead guys. But it's worth it. I'm telling you guys some things that you might be saying, man, I never thought of that. Why do I have to do that? I have to tell her thank you. I have to be nice. Yeah, there's, I don't know if you guys know who Mark Gunger is. Have you ever heard of Mark Gunger? Mark Gunger has a section where he's talking about sex and lovemaking, and he'll say throughout it five or six times, be nice to the girl. You want to have sex? Be nice to the girl. We're sometimes total knuckleheads all day long, and then we want to jump in the sack and have everything be wonderful. Be nice. Be nice to each other. It's hard work, but it's well worth it. Okay, again, I said to have proper love and eyes for your spouse only. Now, man, I want you to be real biblical. I'm going to give you a scripture that I know you're going to want to memorize and you're going to want to say, honey, I want to be biblical. And then, wives, hopefully you say, okay. Proverbs 15, starting Proverbs 5, 15 through 19. I notice you men are writing that down. It says, drink water from your own cistern. That means be with your wife. And running water from your own well. Should your fountain be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Here it goes. And as a loving deer and graceful doe, let her breasts, yeah, that's in the Bible, satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. That's in the Bible, guys. Let her breasts, your wife's breasts, no one else's, nobody else's body, enjoy. Husbands and wives, you're supposed to enjoy each other. Okay. I'm going to talk to the wives again. Men, plug your ears. Wives, I know some of you wives, it's embarrassing for you maybe even to say, I don't want to be naked in front of my husband. I don't want him to see me naked. He wants to see you naked. You need to let him see you naked. You want him to look at you naked, not someone else naked. You want him to have the thoughts and visuals of you naked, not someone else naked. Do you get what I'm saying? It's very biblical, you know. And he wants to touch my breasts. According to the Bible, I'm going to be biblical. I'm going to enjoy the breasts of the wife of my youth. And when I'm 43 years old, 43 years married, I'm still going to be biblical. And I'm still going to enjoy them. Does that make sense? I hope you don't think I'm going too far. If you do, let's talk about what the word, where I'm in the Word of God. This is what God says. Guys, wives, this is what God says. Amen. Preach it, preach it. Okay. Man, if you want your wives to love you, love your kids too. You know, we're talking, you know, one of the neatest things for my wife, she talks about this, is when I'd come home from work and she's trying to cook the dinner and I'd be playing with the kids so she can get the dinner done. That endeared her to me. That's being a team. That's part of, you know, when we first got married, I'd come home. She worked and I worked. And I'd sit. I didn't drink beer, but I sat on the couch and I poured myself a glass of tea and I said, "What's for dinner?" And she said, "What's for dinner? I worked also." And I had a lot of growing up to do. But the bottom line is you're a team. You want to be able to make love. You want to be able to have things good. Work together. Help each other to relieve problems. We need to be constantly praying in the Spirit, asking God to give us wisdom how to minister to our spouse. We need to continue to listen for God's voice for us. You know, again, men, women, if you're thinking of anybody else in the wrong way, you need to stop it right now. Whether it's porn, whether it's another man at work, whether it's another woman at work, whether it's someone here at church, stop it. Look at the person God gave you. I remember there was a guy when I was on staff at another church 20-some-odd years ago, and he came up to me and he said, "Pastor, please pray for me. I'm going into work tomorrow," and he was married and had two kids, "and I'm going to see this girl. She's going to be there. And I think I'm going to have an affair with her." And he's coming to me to pray for him. A pastor. He knows where I stand with the Lord and with marriage. I said, "I would love to pray for you." I laid hands on him and I said, "Lord Jesus, I pray that you help my brother to realize what sin he's in. And that every time he thinks of this woman, he'd get sick to his stomach and want to throw up. When she walks in tomorrow, he'll be nauseous. Thinking of the sin and how he'd be ruining what you've made holy." And I went, it was probably a 5-minute prayer, and it was anointed. I'm serious, it was anointed by the Lord. And he was big guy, got off, and he goes, "Thanks, Lord," and he left. I hadn't seen him for a month. He came back after a month, and he says, "Listen to me." He goes, "When you prayed that, I wanted to beat you up." I said, "Okay." I've had other people tell me that before. And it's for good reason, so go ahead, beat me up. I'll be sacrificed for Christ. But he says, "Every time I saw her, I wanted to throw up. My stomach hurt. I was nauseous." It's God. So I'm telling you guys and you women, if you have any of the wrong thoughts, stop it. Stop it. Pray, "God, help me to look at this for the sin it is and not to be involved with this, but to look at my wife or my husband in the proper way that you want me to look at them. Now, Hebrews 13:4 says, the marriage bed is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So you might ask, okay, so what can I do on the marriage bed? I want to know. Well, we don't have time to tell you, but there's lots of books for that, and I'll share some books later for you on that. I want to talk a little bit about the differences between husbands and wives, as if you don't already know, but most men are usually more visually stimulated than women are. Is that true, you guys, girls? And let's say more quickly excitable than the women is. Women are more emotional and take longer to reach that excitement level. It's stated in foreplay. Men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots. Okay? Does that make sense? If I'm in a, but think about how good something is in a crock pot when it's done. I'm getting hungry. We're going to go do something in a crock pot tomorrow. Think about that. Seriously. We need to be less as microwaves, guys, and more like crock pots. And why? Sometimes you need to be more like a microwave. Seriously. Because you could say to your husband, or the one that's more has a desire for sex more, I'm really not into it today, but I want to please you. And you could have a quickie in the Lord. It's your wife or husband. Do you think that that's wrong for me to say that? No. You can do that. It's your wife or husband. Amen. But you also need to look at wooing each other and making sure that you're taking care of each other properly also. Okay, again, difference between men and women. I'm sitting in bed or in the living room or whatever, and Della's going into the bathroom to take a shower, and she's naked. That's the truth. Della's sitting on the couch or on the bed, and I'm naked, and I'm going into the shower. She doesn't even know I walked by. I'd have to go, and then she'd go, you're weird, knock it off. Am I pretty right for most of the guys? Okay, women, it's okay. Let them look. That's where you want them to look. You want him to see you, not someone else. It's okay. Am I embarrassing you guys? Because I'm embarrassing me. And my poor wife. I was teasing one of the other leadership couple. The wife came by and said, are you ready for tonight? I go, no, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to ask your husband to do it. She goes, oh, no, you're not. Let's talk a little bit about desires. Husbands and wife usually have different desires. And this is really important. The desires change from time to time for husbands and wives. I'll use an extreme example. Okay, how many of you have ever had babies? Okay, when you're in the delivery room and they warn you this in the classes, you might be pushing your wife's back and she'll push it, it hurts, it hurts. Stop it, what are you doing? Things change, right? As you're married a long time and you go through life experience, what you enjoyed at the beginning, you might not enjoy 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years from now. Does that make sense? So continue to communicate with each other on what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. Yeah, you know, I used to like you touching here, but since I've had this rash, it really bothers me. I'm serious, you know. Or since now that you're a mechanic and your hands are all calloused, it feels like sandpaper touching me. Communicate those things with each other quickly. Okay, my brother's a pastor at Calvary Chapel of Eagle, Idaho, and he stated that I could share this. He and his wife, when they go on vacations, he said, I want you to say this to them. They go on vacation when they're going alone like they just went on a cruise together. She calls them sexcations. Because nobody's there, it's just them, and she wants him to have this wonderful time for the next week, okay? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Most of us guys say, amen. Okay, now I'm going to step back a minute. What if your wife or your husband feels, we're on a cruise, they can hear everything, it's a thin wall, or I'm not comfortable in these sheets, or I'm this, or I'm that, or, you know, I'm comfortable in our bed, but I'm not comfortable here. You hearing what I'm saying? Then you need to be sensitive to that and work it out. I think vacations you should, to me, a vacation is having more time with each other, and that includes sex. But if it's a hard time for one of you, you need to work out what that means and what's the balance in it. Not, you know, well, it's all about, then it's, again, it's all about me. And I've had plenty of times in my life, it's all about me, and then God has to punch me in the mouth. Or it's the loving Italian way. But seriously, you guys, no matter where you're going or what you're doing, you need to communicate to each other what works for you. Again, like I said earlier, how many times, how often, it's up to you guys. Where you make love, it's up to you guys. It's not up to anyone else. Oh, my brother does this, so I want to make sure that every time we go on a cruise, two times a day. No, just because that's wonderful for them doesn't mean that's wonderful for my wife and me. And we need to make sure that we have that understanding. Sometimes, again, you might need to gnaw on the headboard. It's okay. Do it. Okay, questions. If you say, and I'm not asking you to ask me questions. Again, talking about, I like this, I don't like this. Ask, is there anything you do not want me to do? Is there anything I'm not doing that you want me to do? Communicate. It's so important. Why would we just guess and assume? I'm sure she's loving this. No, she's not. Or I'm sure he loves this. Well, maybe he doesn't. Ask. I bet if you ask, they'll tell you, right? If you say, do you like this? If they like it, they're going, yeah, I like it. If they're going, well, I love you, but I really don't like that. Communicate to each other. And really, again, no pressure. Freedom to refuse to do something. Freedom to make mistakes, okay? You know, again, this isn't Hollywood where everything, oh, it was wonderful, and we both climaxed at the same time. And I'm sorry, this is not Hollywood, this is reality. Things aren't always going to be perfect, and we laugh at those times now. It's like, well, that was something. And it's okay. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay for things not to, quote unquote, work out perfectly. Quit putting so much pressure on yourselves. Enjoy each other. Enjoy Jesus and enjoy each other. Amen. Okay? Freedom to try new things. But again, in agreement. Freedom to fail. Freedom to laugh at yourselves, man. One of the biggest problems we have is we don't laugh at ourselves. Don't laugh at your spouse, but laugh at each other. Hey, you know, let's have fun together, enjoy each other. Again, being sensitive to your partner's mood, is it going to be soft and romantic, heavy and passionate, just holding each other, a time of prayer before or afterwards? Do you know it's okay to pray before you make love? Do you know it's okay to pray after you make love? It is. It's actually good to do that. Thanking God for what he's given you. Again, the gift of sex. Accept your partner saying, I'm not into tonight again. Set a time to be alone with each other. Be intentional with that. We're intentional with so many other things, but when it comes to our love life, our romance, a lot of times we're not intentional about making sure we have the proper time to do that, that we can both enjoy it. Men, romance. Do you know what the word romance means, guys? Yes? No, it's tweet, tweet, tweet. Guys, romance. Do something. Get her flowers. Take her to dinner. Cards. A phone call. Now a text. I love you. I think you're beautiful. I miss you. Don't do it and take away work time, but communicate to each other. Let her know. Women, you could wear a sexy nightgown every now and then. It's okay. It's not sin. You can be the aggressor. Guys are all going, amen. It's okay. I'm not saying you have to do these things. I'm just saying, you know, think about what works for you guys. And again, ask. Would you like me to do this? Would you like me to do that? If you're in agreement with it and it's okay, then do it. Guys, okay, guys. Be clean. Take a bath. Come, you're just working in the yard. Let's go make love. Go take a shower. Be clean. Be clean for each other, too. Spontaneity is way harder, as I stated, with children. So that's why you need to make sure that you make the time and prioritize that. And men, be sensitive to that. What can you do to make it easier for your wife to be able to be ready, willing, and able when you go to bed? Can you help her do the dishes? Can you help her get the kids to bed earlier so that you have the time, so that when she gets in bed, she's not totally exhausted? Oh, you're exhausted every night, as you sit there like I did when we first got married and drinking tea and saying, what's for dinner? No. How can I help you to feel good in the Lord and have some time and energy so that we can make love later? You could tease each other with fulfillment. A passionate kiss. Just a sensual touch. Now, and it, guys, it doesn't always have to be a sensual touch or a hug and now we're going to jump in a sack. We could just hug her. I love just hugging her. I do. I love hugging my wife. It doesn't have to be that everything's going to lead to sex. But all that helps you to love each other better so that when you do have sex, you're appreciated and understand that the person loves you for more than just sex. Good evening sex begins in the morning when you wake up with doing the right things from the very beginning for each other. Romantic phone calls, texts. Don't measure performance, guys and gals. Don't enjoy each other. Be free to fail. Be free to mess up. Free to say, well, that didn't work really well. That's okay. Enjoy each other. Relax and enjoy the time. Don't judge yourself by what others are doing or what you think others are doing. Just because somebody says, oh, no, we do, that doesn't mean they're doing it, first of all. But don't do that. You and your wife look at what you two want to do, what's the best for you two, and that's holy and glorious and wonderful. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I don't. I really don't. I care what will please my wife, what will please God. Again, does it please God? If you're out of the category of pleasing God, obviously, then you're in big trouble. But if it's pleasing God and pleasing each other, I don't care what anyone else thinks. And it's, like I said, when somebody says something, well, how often was I say, none your business. It's none of their business how often or what we do. It's between the two of us and between God. Again, thank each other for things, not even just for sex, but when you do something. Oh, thank you for emptying the dishwasher, George. she does that when I empty the dishwasher. I'll thank her for, I came home and the trash was taken out front. We have certain things that we consider each other's responsibility because we've just been married that long and we do it, but sometimes we're busy and the other person just does it, and it's a wonderful thing. You just appreciate each other for that. Okay, some practical fun stuff. I want to share these, and let's be positive. Maybe you can implement some of these, and maybe you can't, and it's okay to elbow now, okay? Are you bragging on him or her? Are you bragging on your spouse? You know, I've got the best wife in the world. Anybody that knows me knows how much I talk wonderfully about my wife. When I hear somebody talking negatively about their spouse, it gets me very, 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 very angry. Don't you ever let me catch you talking bad about your spouse. You're going to hear from me. You need to brag on each other. You need to uplift each other. You need to make sure that you're making sure that the other is feeling needed and loved and wanted by you and by God. Go on dates. You know, I don't, what does that mean? for years, we didn't have that much money, so a date to us was we put a VHS, you know what a VHS is? We'd put a VHS in, pop some popcorn, and we'd watch the VHS together. You know what the only thing I required is that she's touching me. I'm happy. She'll say, do you mind if we were watch a chick flick? I go, will you touch me? Yes? Okay. So communicate. It doesn't have to be expensive. We used to have to do that after the kids went to bed because we had two daughters. And so once they went to bed, we can have a cup of tea, have some popcorn, and watch a VHS together and just have some time together. Communicate together. Make sure you're doing that together. Taking out the trash. I think a lot of you have heard me say that before, you know. One of the biggest forms of foreplay to women is us men doing something like, I took out the trash. Used to tease all the time because I'd always forget to take out the trash. George, could you remember to take out the trash? George, can you take out the trash? And so I'd start picking up the trash and go, look, Della, I'm taking the trash out. And she'd go, woo, 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 sexy. So then it's become a joke in her house. I'll go, hey, Della, I'm taking the trash out. Again, have fun with it. Have fun with those things that we might not be doing that we need to do and make it a fun thing where we're doing that together. Guys, fix something. You want your wife to be happy? Fix something. The chair that broke that you said you were going to fix. Well, I told you I'm going to do that. Well, it's been 2 years. But it's still on my list. Fix something. Della and I we still have coffee or tea together regularly, and it's just our time of communicating. We've done that ever since before we had kids and even when we had kids. We wanted to make sure we had prime time together. Those are the kind of things that are romantic because you're building a relationship. We talk about goals and vision and what we'd want to do and what vacation we'd want to go on and what car we'd want to have in the future. And we'd pray together that we could be more holy and we could be a better witness to our kids. And those things just do bind you guys together like never before. Be accountable. Pray together regularly. Play together. Go to church. Worship. Man, one of the best things you could do is come to church together. Now you're growing in Jesus together and you're so well together. Share the word with each other. One of the things we love to do is, because she's going through a different devotion than I am. And she'll say, oh, I have to share with you what I learned in my devotion this morning. And she'll share with me. I go, man, you know, I was listening to this, and I've never looked at it this way, but man, when this guy was saying this, this was really, really cool. Share the word. Encourage each other to grow that way. Be, again, your spouse's cheerleader. Man, I'm so proud of you because you... My wife's a realtor, and I'm very proud of her for how she does her job and the things she does, and I let her know that regularly. She lets me know regularly that she's proud of me for the things I do. And it's not fake. I'm not saying just make something up, but we should be proud of each other. And if we are, we really should be telling the other person, I'm proud of you for what you're doing. I'm glad. Hold each other. Just hold each other. You realize, I ask you to try this. For the next month, take one time a day and just hug each other for 2 minutes. Not like this. I mean, hug each other. And when I'm hugging Della, most of the times I'm literally thinking, God, I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much for giving me her. I am so blessed, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. And watch how your mindset will change and watch how their mindset will change. Hugs, great. Touch each other, like I stated, non-sexual. You know, not like I'm going to touch her and now I'm going to jump in bed. Just touching each other. My wife gets tight in her shoulders and so do I. And she massages my shoulders. And a lot of times when she's doing the dishes, I'll go over there while she's doing the dishes because she's leaning over and I'll massage her shoulders. And all of a sudden she'll go, the dishes take longer, but it's well worth it. And I'm not doing that for any other reason, but I know that it helps release the tension in her back and makes her feel better. Out of love for each other, do those type of things. Okay, my wife used to always write a grocery list. and she still does sometimes, but we've been so busy it's been harder. But she'll have the grocery list, and then I add things to it, like kiss George, give him a hug, pat him on the tush. So I add things on her list. And she'll go over to the list and go, I just read the list. Have fun, you guys. We should enjoy each other that way. If you don't take care of your marriage, how many of you have ever read the book, The Frog in the Kettle? The Frog in the Kettle talks about the frog can be put in a pot in regular water, and you put the water on low, the heat on low, and little by little by little by little, that frog will never jump out because he's not feeling the heat get hotter and hotter and hotter until it's so hot he boils to death. If you're not nurturing your marriage, if you're not putting your spouse first, it'll be just like the frog in the kettle. Oh, we're all right, we're all right, we're all right, we're all right, we're all right. And then later you're going to find out you weren't all right because you weren't prioritizing each other. You weren't making sure that you were putting God first and them second. So you need to make sure that we do that. I'm going to read one more scripture to you. And then I'll just share a couple book resources. Like I said, we're not going to have a Q&A, but what we're going to do afterwards is after I pray, the band's going to come up to do a last song. And if you have questions or want to talk, Dell and I will be up front, and a couple other couples will be up here too. Last scripture again, it's Philippians 2, 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Guys and gals, if we could humble ourselves and die to ourselves, we would be so much closer to God, and our marriages would reflect Christ to everyone we come in contact with. It would be amazing. But the first one you want to reflect Christ to is your spouse, and then it'll reflect to everyone else. Do you want me to share a couple books real quick?
Yes.
Okay. There's Dr. Kevin Lehman, who spoke here before. There's a book called Sheet Music. If I was going to recommend any of the books out of all the books I've read in the past, both my wife and I would recommend Sheet Music. And it goes through, and it's exactly that, making music in the sheets. Okay. But it talks about how the woman responds, how the man responds, how we need to be sensitive to one another to make that happen. Really, really good book. The same guy that wrote this, Dr. Kevin Lehman, wrote Sex Begins in the Kitchen, and he has a little thing under here that says, and sometimes ends in the kitchen. But again, meaning, while you're helping them, while you're doing the things, sex begins way before you go into the bed. And then he has a newer one that he just wrote called Turning Up the Heat. Our Secret Paradise is a good book. This one's more clinical. It's by Dr. Ed Wheat. But it's called Love Life for Every Married Couple. This was the first book I read that really helped me understand my wife. I had four brothers. I hadn't a clue on a woman and how they responded and what had to happen in order to really make love. And I read this one. Huh, really? I thought you just... But this helped me to understand how a woman's body works and what you need to do in their psyche and stuff. So, and it's a Christian, so it's all Christian stuff. Lifelong Love Affair by Jimmy Evans. I love this one. Red Hot Monogamy, right? That's just me and her. Thank you, sir. We had a DVD series we went through years ago called The Song of Solomon. Really good. If you want to read a, get a commentary by like John Corson or someone like that that goes through the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is a love book. It's a love book for husbands and wives. And if you want to read biblical things that you never knew were in there, read that. This, I think, was a book of the month a couple months ago. It's called Sex, Jesus, and the Conversations the Church Forgot. Again, making sure that you understand what God says. This one's from, it's called Biblical Lovemaking, A Study on the Song of Solomon. I haven't read this one yet, but Pastor Lynn, you guys know who Pastor Lynn is? He recommends this one highly, and trust him totally. Now, here's one written for women that I started reading. And it's called Intimate Issues, 21 Questions Christian Women Ask About Sex. So it's a very good book for you women that might be having troubles or thinking about, is this okay? Is that okay? How do I get over this from my past? How do I go from no to go? It has a lot of good things in there. It also has things, there's one section that says, what's not okay in bed? It's really good. Rather than saying, what can I do? It's saying, here are the 10 things you shouldn't do, and then giving you other aspects in it. So, really good book, awesome. Mark Gunger, I don't know if you know, again, some of you know who he is. He wrote, he has a DVD series and a book called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. He, if this is the line, not the cross, I think he goes like this. But it's good stuff. If you've listened to it, he makes you really think. And it's really, really good stuff in that respect. So, I hope this was useful and that you could apply it. Okay? Thank you. Your homework, practice. My poor wife, I've been going through this all month. What's been on my mind? So afterwards, there's food next door. Again, those who have children here, let them go in line and get the food first. And I appreciate you guys. Pray for this ministry. Pray for your marriages that God will bless them. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this time, Lord. I ask, Lord, that if there's anything I said that I shouldn't have, that you just erase it from the people's minds, Lord. Lord, those things that they need to know, that they would apply them. Again, the specific things for their marriage and their life, not what somebody else is doing, but what they need, Lord, touch them. Lord, I pray if somebody in here doesn't know you, that, Lord, we could talk to them afterwards and they'd come to know you. If they're backslidden, that they'd come and rededicate their life to you, Lord. So, Lord, we give you this time and we just thank you that you are a God and you did not leave us without knowledge in your word. And, Lord, the main book we should be reading more than any of these other ones is your Bible. Your Bible has all the answers. Help us to look at that. So we give you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.